Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland, with world-class courses, historic links, stunning scenery, and unmatched hospitality. Experience golf like never before in Ireland. Start planning your dream golf trip today at ireland.com/golf. And by Ivy Cool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with Ivy Cool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Gavin Deer, the Chief Commercial Officer for ShotScope, a company that produces advanced laser rangefinders featuring GPS-powered distances with performance tracking technology. And we're going to learn all about it from Gavin, who is from Scotland. Gavin, always great to hear a Scottish accent. Welcome to Sports Interview.
No, thanks. Thanks for having me on, Anne.
Now, the company is based in Scotland, right? And was founded in 2014.
Yeah, so we're based out of Edinburgh, Scotland, currently in LA, and we spend a lot of time over here in the US. Obviously, the US is a growing market for us. In the UK, we are second largest company in golf technology. So spend a lot of time over here. I came to college here, so it's like a second home.
Where did you go to college?
I went to college at Lynn University down in Boca in Florida, so a bit of a change for a Scottish boy.
Well, I know you're a very accomplished amateur golfer, and you played professionally for a number of years. You played in the 2009 Walker Cup at Merion. You won the 2009 Irish Open Amateur. So you are quite the golfer yourself.
Yeah, the key word there was where. Golf's, I had a great run. 08, 2009, 10 and 11, I played some really good golf. And unfortunately, I just couldn't get myself to the top tier and become stable there. And to be honest, it then became a question of what do you go on to do? And very fortunate that I've managed to remain in the golf industry rather than, you know, it's a large industry. It's a great industry, but it's hard to get into and understand, especially in Scotland. If you're not going to be involved in golf tourism, it's hard to be in the golf industry. So I'm really privileged to still be working and doing something that around a sport that I love.
Well, before we get more into your work with ShotScope, I understand when you played in the 2009 Walker Cup, Tommy Fleetwood was on your team. That must have been exciting back then. Who knew Tommy Fleetwood, right?
He was, yeah. So Tommy was 18, I think, when he played in the Walker Cup then. He was an accomplished player. It's hard, right? Because you're all there at a level, and you would expect somebody to go on. And on the US side, Ricky Fowler played, Brian Harman played. I think Ricky was the standout golfer out of the 20 players there. But yes, Tommy's gone on to a phenomenal career. And he was young. The thing about Tommy was he was very level-headed. You can still see that in his game today. And he was always asking questions, keen to learn from anybody he could. And that's obviously held him well as he's kind of gone through success in the pro game.
Interesting to hear that about Tommy Fleetwood. And then, of course, Ricky Fowler and that U.S. team, that Walker Cup team, won 16.5 to 9.5.
Yep.
For their third straight win at that point. So it was good memories for the U.S. team. But just the experience overall, especially at Merion. I remember playing Merion the day after the U.S. Open was played there. You know, it's just a tough golf course, lots of rough, and you just have to be on the fairway or it was impossible. I mean, what were your memories of Merion?
So, the first thing you have is you have the baskets instead of the flags.
I love that.
Which throws you off immediately as a golfer. And it's amazing how often subconsciously you look at a flag and you take information in without knowing it about wind direction and strength. For us, you know, it's fantastic playing in front of crowds like that. You know, I think there's about 15,000 People attended the course. It's interesting you say about the rough. For us, it was hit as far as you could off the tee. The fairways are tight, so it's hard to hit the fairways if you're hitting a long iron or a three wood or a driver. So just hit driver. It was the first time we'd really experienced sort of bomb and gouge, as it became known within the sort of professional game. But phenomenal experience. I was fortunate to play number one both singles days against Brian Harman, and came out with a point and a half against him, which was great. But it was a tough week for the Brits. You know, we took a pretty good beating, but
Yeah, but
I
still, the
loved the place.
memory you play, you
Yeah.
beat Brian Harman, obviously, open champion from 2023, Ryder Cup player. So what a, that's something you can carry with you as far as a good memory for the rest of your life, really. Well, so what was it like back then as far as gauging distance? Did you use rain finders back then? I mean, I'm interested in hearing what it was like back then and how the technology has improved since.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone through the full cycle. So back in college, you used to have markers that you paced off, and you weren't allowed to use range finders in competition. And now you can play it in amateur competitions, and even at the PGA Championship, it's now you can use. But at the Walker Cup, it was still yardage books, which it's slow, right? And you've seen the growth in GPS or range finders, and they're almost as important as having a driver in the bag now. There's nothing worse than hitting a good shot that's down the flag, comes up 20 yards short, goes 20 yards long, because you were just guessing what club to hit.
Right. So talk a little bit about shot scope and you know, there's just you have a variety of different, you know, range finders, you have the watch, and how the technology has just advanced so quickly in, say, the last couple of years.
So we started the company using shot tracking technology. And in that, what we want to do is, as you would go for a run, and you would time your run, and you would time how many minutes it takes per mile, our shot tracking technology allows you to go and capture your golf game and say, how far did I hit the tee shot, and how close was I to the middle of the fairway, and how close was I to the flag, and all that data that a professional golfer gains. And we initially did that with GPS watches. You can now use our handheld devices, our mobile app, a number of different devices to capture that data. And in the same time, you know, we're a team of golfers. We've expanded. So we now provide range finders that provide GPS as well, and just GPS watches. And we've got a $150 GPS watch that's got 12 different color straps, so you can personalize the color you want. So we've become a brand off the back of shot tracking, but it's still our core USP, if you like, and our core ability to go to a golfer and say, hey, we're wanting you to improve your game, and here's how you can do it utilizing technology.
Right. So the Pro LX Plus is GPS powered distances in addition to artificial intelligence. So that AI, is that something new to this genre?
Yeah, so obviously it's about consistently tweaking the experience. So something I would say is none of our products have subscription, and all of our products we're constantly looking to improve them. And as a user, whether you purchase a watch, for instance, tomorrow or a year ago, you get the same updates for free the whole time through the life of that watch. So as you can imagine, we're getting to a stage with technology that you're like, hey, we've got all this data. How can we start to use AI to say, hey, Anne, you're going out to play at Merrion. Well, in the first hole, you should try and hit this. And can we beam it to your watch so that you can understand if it's a driver or a three wood off the first tee and what your percentages are? So that, you know, if you think about, I went out and shot 75 around a golf course, you made 75 decisions on that golf course. What club should I hit? Where should I aim? And we're just trying to make those decisions a little bit easier. You know, trying to avoid a couple of the bad ones. And it's amazing how your score can fall because of that.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so much information that you can get from these devices. You know, again, the smart golf watch with interchangeable straps, as you mentioned, the Pro L2, the Pro LX laser range finders, the tracking tags, ShotScope Academy connecting players with pros and golf and coaches. So tell me, what kind of data can amateurs get from these devices and use to improve their games?
Yeah, so it's all encompassing, and what I would say is within ShotScope, okay, we ran through my golf career and we've got some elite golfers that are in ShotScope, but we also have guys that play once a week or once a month, and we all contribute together because we know that golfers have different levels of understanding of data, so we want to make sure that it's not overwhelming on our apps or our dashboard. But in terms of data, you're going to see overheads of all the shots on the golf course that you've played. You're going to be able to take all that data and understand fairway percentage, green percentage, proximity, club distance, and then you can start to take it and compare it against your peers. So we benchmark, and you can say, hey, well, I'm a 12 handicapper. What does a 10 do? And you can understand, okay, how am I going to improve? Well, my driving's better than a 10 handicapper. My approach plays better than a 10 handicapper, but look, my short game's poorer. So, okay, now you can sit there and say, well, my pathway to improvement is through short game. And we can break that down and say, hey, it's bunker play. We would advise you go and see a PGA Pro and work on bunker play because we know if you can improve that part of your game, your scores will decrease.
I love all that. So take the beginner to this technology to the beginning. And how does that particular, all this, all these analytics, how does all that work? How do you do it?
Yeah, so quite simply, again, we've got different methods for collection on the course, so it can suit the individual golfer. The simplest one is the golf watch, the X5, and where you just put little tags in the top of your clubs and you play, and it'll do all the work for you.
And the tags come with the watch.
The tags come with it. You get 16, so you have some spares. They're all uniquely identified. You put them in, they stay there. There's no batteries.
How do you put them in?
You just screw them into the top of the grip.
Okay.
So, yeah, I become blasé about some of this stuff. So you can do that, or you can take tags at $99 and connect it to the mobile app and just hold it close to your phone and it will record the shot. So
Wow.
there's different ways. You know, we see in the States that usage of golf technology is different to the UK. In the UK, we're much more watch-based. In the US, it's more app and rangefinder based. So we have different methods for collection just to suit the individual golfer.
I wonder why that's the case.
I think historically, that's where, you know, we had watch companies that right at the start of golf technology being introduced. And in the States, it was more lasers from hunting that came into golf to gather data. So I think it's historic. What I would say is, watches is the fastest growing segment within technology in the US, and it's because it is so simple. It's always there. You can't lose it. You can't leave it on your golf cart. It's attached to you. The distance is there. It takes seconds. So I think over time it will become more equal.
Yeah, I love the watch, but I also love the range finder because of the magnetic, it can just click on and it holds right onto the golf cart, and it's so easy, and it never, moves. I mean, it's you just have to remember to take it off when you leave for the day.
Yeah, exactly. And we've added the magnet to our Pro L2, which is $150 rangefinder with slope technology. It was my Golf Spy's best value rangefinder, and we're struggling to keep them in stock around the world. It's absolutely nuts. And again, it just has all those simple features for the golfer that's sort of a weekend warrior. They want to go out and play, and it's accurate. It does everything you can want. So as a brand, we're now positioned that we have a full suite of products, but it's all underpinned by shot tracking.
Right. And this GPS you're talking about, it locks into the pin very easily. And oftentimes it's difficult to focus and get, right onto that pin location. with range finders, but the technology has developed that you can really almost hear it locking in to the proper distance, right?
Yeah, and with the L2, we've taken it a step further because it's the entry level product. Using a rangefinder is a skill. Hitting a target from 200 yards is a skill. So with the L2, we changed our technology so that the golfer just holds the button and scans, and the system will automatically find the pin. So you're not trying to hit like a one fire, which is tricky, especially if you've got some shaky hands or you're less experienced with rangefinders.
Definitely. I mean, a lot of times too much coffee is not good when you're trying to
Yeah,
find the pin with your
coffee or
GPS.
drinking, it depends which way you're going in the course.
Exactly. And so talk a little bit about, the professional game. You did mention now the only major championship that allows caddies to use range finders is the PGA Championship. Why do you think that's the case? Why aren't more majors allowing caddies to use range finders?
Yeah, I suppose it's tradition. I think golf's at a crossroads, and you can see that with LIV Golf, some of the additions. It's really a crossroads of meeting the future technology with whether it be clothing. A great example is why are guys on the PGA Tour not allowed to wear shorts? It's crazy. Why are they not using rangefinders more or accessing this technology? Because it's accurate, it's quicker. Golf has a pace of play problem, I would suggest, especially at the pro level. And for rangefinder use or GPS use, you as a golfer, you can use it effectively the whole way before you reach the PGA Tour. So college, elite amateur golf, smaller pro events. You can use it the whole way. So I think it's going to come. The PGA Championship was a step forward. It makes sense. The players respond well to it. I think the caddies certainly enjoy it. It's a few less steps every round. But I think you'll see a transition in pro golf, and it's probably to retain audience as much as anything, that adding in wearing shorts, using rangefinders, trying to connect with the golf consumer a bit more and be like what we are on Saturday.
Well, you play professionally and you're a top amateur player and you're in touch with the players and the caddies. Do the caddies really find this technology to be a major advantage, do you think?
I think so. I think you have this juxtaposition. I mean, when you're a professional golfer, the pin distance is important. But it's all about caddies and lines, and it's really mathematics. It's really risk aversion and percentages. So you're looking to try and work out a number to hit the ball. And that could be, hey, I want to hit it 10 yards short of that flag. So from a caddy perspective, it allows them to quickly understand the pin distance. It can allow them to quickly understand distances to carry bunkers. I think you'll always see a want for a yardage book at the PGA Tour level because it's so ingrained. But I think if you asked a caddy, hey, do you want to carry one and have the ability to use it? I think they would all say yes. It's another tool in their toolbox, right?
Sure, and it also tells you the slope, which I think is a big advantage.
Yeah, so you can't use slope in competition.
Oh, okay.
So there's an element there. Again, should that just be opened up? The thing is, you're not allowed to use slope in a competition on a Thursday, but you can have mapped it and taken a note in your yardage book on the Wednesday.
Right. So how do, like, say at the PGA Championship with the your range finders that do provide slope, how can they kind of police that?
So that's a great question. So what we do as a rangefinder company is we submit all our products to the RNA and USGA, and they go through conformance testing. And part of that is when you have a slope button, you must be able to switch it on and off, and you have to have a clear signifier on the side of the rangefinder to say slope is on. It's then obviously a game of honesty. So it's on the golfer to say, hey, I've made a mistake, my slope is actually on, I will have to disqualify myself. And that happens now and again. You'll see a few articles of golfers doing that. But what you'll also note is slope switches are stiff. They're hard to move, and they're designed to be hard to move because it's got to be a significant movement to make sure that slope is on or off. You don't want it switching on itself during the round. So, yeah, it's a really good question, and it's all to do with conformance.
And talk a little bit more, Gavin, about the data that amateurs can get from, all this information that's coming in, that you can process on your, you can look on your, what, on your laptop or your phone. What kind of data are they getting from their own shots, from these tracking devices, these tags, and how can it improve an amateur's game?
Yeah, so the way we'll do this is effectively we capture every shot position you have and we can then link them up to your score. And from that, we'll get distances and we use it to overlay on our course mapping. Sounds complicated, but it's really a 4 second processing on the app. And from that, we then break the game down into tee shots, approaches, short game, putting, and scoring. And we can start to say, hey, look at your tee shots. You're not driving the ball quite as far. So, hey, should you look at upgrading your driver? Should you go for a fitting? You start to work through the game and you start to look for small things. So, we get lots of users come and say, hey, my approach play has been great the last month. I'm scoring better. And you go, well, actually, you're driving the ball into the fairway, which is allowing you to hit better shots. So, it's understanding your own game and thus, showing you what you do well and showing you where you can improve. And maybe that improvement is decision making that you do, or maybe it's a technical issue. And hey, you should really go and see a PGA pro to improve that technical aspect. But it's a whole level of data. It's fascinating for golfers. We see golfers come and spend 30, 40 minutes at a time poring through their data. If they've been off and played and had an experience playing some amazing golf courses, it's also a record of that. You can always go back and look and see your overlaid maps of that round and see how you played and relive that experience. So there's many things you can do with the data, that just adds to the whole experience of golf.
And what about the interactive features with this technology?
Yeah, so there's a number of elements. So again, we allow you to go and host competitions similar to fantasy football. You can, if you have a bunch of your friends have ShotScope, you can create some competitions. So, we all have friends that we don't live close to and don't get to play golf with anymore, but you can compete with them on the system. You can connect with your golf coach, so you can pass them the data, or it could be that you just pass the pro at your golf club the data, and maybe they don't instruct you, but you're helping them learn about how golfers play their course for course setup, course redesigns. There's many different elements of the system that you can go and engage with others as well, which is great.
I think it does everything, ShotScope, but talk back. Maybe that's for a future
Yeah,
application, right?
it's funny, we like, being Scottish, we love to play golf quickly. That's the whole thing. You fall off a green onto the next tee. We want to try and make golf as quick. So, even though somebody might be listening and say, well, that sounds complicated, the technology's all been designed to not slow the game down. We don't want it to take away from playing the game. We just want to enhance effectively the next time you play.
You Scots go out there in what, under 3 hours, pretty much
That
for
that's the
18?
aim. It doesn't always work. We like to say it does, but the aim is 3 hours. Yeah.
I love it. Well, Gavin, it's been a pleasure. You can get these ShotScope products online at shopscope.com, or you can go to Dick's Sporting Goods. You can go to Golf Galaxy, PGA Superstores, golf specialty stores. Really a pleasure talking to you. Continued success. And last question. Just what's the best part of your job?
Oh, that's a good question. We've got a phenomenal team at ShotScope, that are great to work with. But I think I think the thing that I enjoy the most is the variety. So I spend a lot of time out in the US, and it could be radio interviews or appearances. It could be, yesterday we were presenting at Southern Cal's Teaching Summit, working with coaches. Sometimes we all go and host users at courses to play with them. It's probably the variety. And like I said earlier, I didn't think when I stopped playing that I would be able to partake in the industry or work within golf like this. So it's kind of, yeah, it's everything I look forward to, and it doesn't really feel like work, which is probably the key going forward. So very fortunate in that aspect.
You definitely have a passion for it. Gavin Deere, the Chief Commercial Officer for ShotScope, thanks so much for being on Sports Interview.
Thanks, really appreciate it.
Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland, with world-class courses, historic links, stunning scenery, and unmatched hospitality. Experience golf like never before in Ireland. Start planning your dream golf trip today at ireland.com/golf. And by IB Cool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with IB Cool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com.